I'm so thankful to be with you this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to worship God with you and to study from the Word of God with you. My name is Steve Peeler, and look forward to getting to know you. We are moving to this area. People ask me where I'm moving. I had been saying Shelbyville, and I got corrected so much of the time on how I said the word that now when people say, Steve, where are you moving? I say, Bedford County. It's a lot easier for me to say. I'm thankful to be with you. I'm thankful for the elders and the deacons, each and every member, and the work that you do for the Lord. Just had a good lesson on service to the Lord, and I hope that we all take that to heart. Appreciate the job that Brother Jeff does here. I've listened to his lessons online, and he does a wonderful job, and thankful for him. This morning, I want us to talk about prayer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, Paul wrote, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." This morning, I want us to talk about the subject of prayer. This evening, Lord willing, I want us to talk about the subject of singing. Does prayer change things? Does prayer make a difference? James, in James chapter 5 and verse 16, wrote that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, if we believe that, I believe that we will pray more. And the effectiveness of prayer is not just in the activity, the ritual of it, but the power of prayer is because of the one to whom we are praying, the Almighty God. Prayer should be more than just a custom. It's communication with God. It's the most important conversation that you and I will have all day. He speaks to us through his inspired word, and we speak to him through prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Prayer is important. When you look in the biblical record, you see that there is clear evidence that God's people prayed to God often with confidence, and it made a difference. And prayer can make a difference. And it made a difference in the life of Daniel, and Daniel was a man of prayer. You see in Daniel chapter 2 that he was going before King Nebuchadnezzar to tell him what his dream was, and to interpret that dream. And he'd asked the king for more time. He saw what happened to the wise men of Babylonian, and they were killed because they couldn't do that. So he asked the king for time, and he wanted time to pray to God. And he asked his three friends to pray to God because he knew about the importance of that. And he could only do that with God's help, and he understood that. But he was a man of prayer. In Daniel chapter 6... after the Babylonian Empire had been destroyed, we see that the Medo-Persian Empire had come into effect, and King Darius gave a decree that if you pray to anyone other or bow before anyone other than him, that you would be cast into the lion's den. That did not stop Daniel from praying. He prayed with determination. You see in Daniel chapter 6 there, verses 10 and 11. But what I want us to do, we have a beautiful prayer recorded in the Bible. In Daniel chapter 9, I want us to look at and examine his prayer in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. First of all, I want us to look at the context of this prayer. If you look in the first verse of Daniel chapter 9, you see that it gives us the time frame. This was the first year of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus. So right here at the beginning of Daniel chapter 9, it opens by telling us this is the first year of the Medo-Persian Empire. This is around 539 BC. Daniel had been a captive in Babylon for almost 70 years at this point. If you remember, he was taken captive from Jerusalem. At a very early age, he was in the first that they had taken captive, and that was around 605 BC. And he was probably about 16 years old when he was taken captive. And now when we get to Daniel chapter 9, He is in his 80s. And we find him in chapter 9. He is in the Medo-Persian hands right now. Babylon had fallen, and the Medo-Persians were in power. So you just think about his life. He has seen a lot of political changes in his life. Born in Jerusalem, Judea under that king, and then taken captive under Nebuchadnezzar and the other kings in Babylon. And then now he is under captivity by the Medo-Persian Empire. So he's seen a lot of political changes in his life. But something that does not change in his life is his faith in God. And he believes, as he writes in this book several times, that he is serving Jehovah God who controls the kingdoms of men. If you look in verse 2, you see that through the reading of the books, what's he talking about? What books? Well, he makes reference to Jeremiah, so he's talking about Scripture. In Jeremiah chapter 25 and in Jeremiah chapter 29 said that he prophesied that the captivity would be about 70 years. 70 years of Jerusalem's desolations. So knowing Scripture, Daniel knows that the time of captivity has come to an end there, and it's time for restoration of the people of Judah. And I think that that's a good point to make here, that it's important that we know the Word of God. I think that's a good place to start when it comes to prayer, being familiar with the Word of God, being familiar with what the Scripture says. And oftentimes when we pray together, when we're assembled, I hear men that I know the Scriptures that they're referencing, and I love that. We need to be familiar with the Word of God. So Daniel's familiar with the prophecies of Jeremiah, and he knows that the time of captivity, according to what the Word of God says, is that it's coming to an end. But he also knows that there's a problem. He knows that the people have not changed. He knows that his people are continuing in their sins and living wickedly. And this is the occasion, this is the context by which Daniel goes to God in prayer. This leads Daniel to a prayer for the intercession of his people. And if you look at verse 3, there's several statements I want you to notice in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3. First of all, he says, I set my face. That shows his determination. If you remember when Jesus went into Jerusalem to be crucified, the Bible says that he had set his face toward Jerusalem. He was determined to carry out the Father's will. Daniel says here that I set my face, and I think this refers to his determination in prayer to God. And he says to make requests by prayer and supplication. Daniel was not just going to be passive as God's prophetic plan was unfolding before him. In his approach to God, he made a request asking God to perform his promise in the way that would bring the most glory to his God. And he says, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I believe that this shows his humble heart in approaching God. Anytime we approach the throne of God in prayer, it should be with humility. These are signs of a humble attitude and mourning over the sins of his people. So that is the context of this beautiful prayer that we have in Daniel chapter 9. The prayer is recorded in verses 4 through 19. Let's talk about the content of this prayer. He begins this prayer with adoration to the Lord, with praise. I'm thankful that when we prayed just a moment ago, there was a lot of thanksgiving and praise to God in that prayer. That's the way our prayer should be. In fact, have you ever just prayed a prayer of thanksgiving? You didn't ask for a single thing. You've just praised God in that prayer and thanked him for all that he does for you and continues to do for you. We should not pray to God without praising him, giving him adoration. Notice in verse 4 that the Lord is described by Daniel as the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. You see, God is the one who had the power to answer his prayers. Prayer is an act of worship, as singing is, that we'll talk about later today. But prayer is not just reserved for when we assemble with the saints to worship God. It should be a part of our everyday life. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said, pray without ceasing. We need to be people of prayer. Daniel was. Daniel knew God to be faithful, to be righteous, to be just, and to be merciful. All of those characteristics of God mentioned in this prayer. He is faithful, he is righteous, he is just, he is merciful. And notice in verse 19, he says, for your own sake. Daniel wanted God to get the glory, to be glorified. He wanted to give credit to God, and he carries the idea that this is to be done to the accomplishment of God's own counsel, to the performance of his promise, and to the manifestation of his own glory. God is faithful to his word. He is true. One time a young child asked me, what is something that God cannot do? And I was a little stumped when I heard that. And I thought about it. And I said, what is that? He cannot break his promises. That's good. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says that God cannot lie. Titus was preaching on the Isle of Crete where they were known to be liars. You ever heard it said of someone that, how do you know when they're lying? Well, their mouth is moving. That means they lie a lot. That's like the Cretans that Titus was working with. But in contrast to that, Paul says to him that God cannot lie. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, in fact, it says it's impossible for God to lie. And then you know the next verse, that hope that's our anchor to the soul. That's because we can anchor into the promises of God and we know him to be true and faithful. Daniel knew God to be faithful and true to his word. And Daniel appeals to God on this basis, but he begins by giving praise and adoration to God. What about the content as we move along? Daniel then proceeds to confess to the Lord the sins of himself and the people. Daniel is one of those characters in Scripture that nothing I can find that's negative written in Scripture about Daniel. Joseph feel just about the same about him. But Daniel knew that he wasn't sinless. He knew that he wasn't perfect. So not only is he praying for the sins of the people, but he includes himself in that. And the expressions that Daniel used in reference to sin shows you that he was willing to confess them, hold nothing back, because he uses the word sin. He uses iniquity in this prayer. He uses the word wickedness, rebellion, departing from the precepts, shame of face, unfaithfulness. And in verse 10, he says, quite frankly, we have not obeyed. Daniel wanted to confess every form of sin, leaving nothing out. No high-handed sin, no unwitting sins, omission, commission, nothing held back. And I think this is the true spirit of prayer. We're talking to God. He can search our heart. Why would we try to hide things from him? We need to be willing to confess our sins. In verse 13, we see there that as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. We are getting what we deserve, and yet we have not turned to God. He says the heart of this people has not changed. They're not praying to God. They're not turning away from their sins. They're not repenting as they should. So he confesses their sins before the Lord. He doesn't hold anything back. But also, as far as the content, Daniel makes his request before the Lord. Look at verses 16 through 19 of Daniel chapter 9. Beginning in verse 16, He says, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all of those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see your desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our own righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Daniel's petition, his request before the Lord, is for God to turn away his anger from them. And it's not on the basis of their righteous deeds, because he says, we have not done them. It is on the basis of God's righteousness. If you noticed in verse 16, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, God's righteousness. Our righteousness will not save us. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3 that it's like filthy rags. There's none of us that's righteous, not a one of us. We need the righteousness of God. God is righteous. So he appeals to God on the basis of God's righteousness. And he says, we have not acted righteously. And he also appeals on God's mercy. You have heard that expression, they threw themselves on the mercy of the court. Daniel here is throwing himself and his people on the mercy of the Lord. God's mercy is great. So Daniel pleads on the basis that God is righteous and God is merciful. And he reminds God that he made a covenant with the people that a remnant would return. And so he asks God that God fulfill his word so that he will be glorified and the people will see that he is the true and living God. So that's the context of Daniel's prayer. That's the content of Daniel's prayer. What about the conclusion? Did Daniel's prayer make a difference? Look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 22 and 23. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. God heard Daniel's prayer. And in the visions that follow this prayer, we see that God told Daniel that Jerusalem would be rebuilt and the Messiah would come. The plan of God would be carried out for Christ's sake and for ours and carried out to fruition. God is eager to hear our prayers. We talk about often Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, when our sins separate us from God so that he will not hear us. But if we are faithful to God, if we are true to him, if we are keeping his commandments, we see in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24, on the positive side, Isaiah says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Did Daniel's beautiful prayer in Daniel chapter 9, verses 4 through 19, make a difference? Yes, it did. God heard it. And we see in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. I love that verse. From the first day when Daniel had prayed and given himself over to understanding, it says that the Lord has heard his sincere supplication and responded. If you're using the King James Version of Scripture, it says there in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12, thy words were heard. How humbling that is, that God will hear our words, that he wants to hear. The psalmist in Psalm 116 is counting his blessings, being a child of God. And the first blessing that he mentions in Psalm 116 is that God inclines his ear to hear his supplications, his prayers. God is mindful of us, and he wants to hear from us. He wants us to talk to him in prayer. Thy words were heard. The Lord answers prayers of those that are faithful to him. It was true then, and it's true now. We're told in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. It's true in Daniel's day, and it's true today, that if we are people of faith, true children of God, living as we should, that God will hear our petitions and he will answer. So the question I want to leave you with this morning is a question that I asked at the beginning of this lesson. Does prayer make a difference? What do you suppose would happen in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your participation in the local church, if you lived and prayed like Daniel? You think about the difference he made. You can make that same kind of difference in your marriage, in your family. What if I ask you, if you're married, and I ask you, do you have a close relationship with your spouse? And you said, oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We're very close. So you talk all the time. Well, no, I do this and that, and my spouse does this and that. We just don't have much time to talk. How close of a relationship can you have with your spouse if you don't talk to her? The same is true with God. Do you have a close relationship with God? If you don't pray to him and talk to him very often, how can you? We need to pray more and realize the power of prayer. In our participation in the local church, we need to be prayer warriors. They used to have prayer meetings. Sometimes people refer to still Wednesday nights as prayer meetings. They used to get together and pray. Just pray together. We need to pray like Daniel. Daniel made a difference. He made a difference in the political environment, the political temperature of the world in which he lived. In the Babylonian captivity, he was a good example to them. In fact, three times King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, confessed that he believed his God was the true God, the powerful God. He was a good example to the Medo-Persian Empire, and he was a good example to his people. With all that's going on in our world, we need to be people of prayer. I don't want you to think for a minute that it doesn't make a difference. If there's anybody here this morning that's not a child of God, won't you consider becoming one? If you're outside of Christ, you don't have that privilege of prayer, where God hears you like he hears a child of his. You need to be in Christ. The Bible tells us you need to hear the word of God, believe it, that you need to be willing to repent of your sins, turn away from sin, and you need to confess that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be immersed, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Just as Saul was told to do, Saul of Tarsus, he was told, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And then you're a child of God. And we know that we must live faithful unto death. It's not once saved, always saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. There's so many warnings against falling away, being unfaithful. We can lose our salvation. As a verse that Danny used this morning, Philippians 2 and verse 10, we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We need to be faithful unto death. We need to be eager to serve. We need to be good servants of God. And a part of that is praying. I understand that the writer of the book of James, and I believe it's the James that's the half-brother of Jesus. I believe we can see enough evidence that it's James, the half-brother of Jesus. He had a nickname from what I understand. His nickname was Old Camel Knees. Now that doesn't sound like a compliment, does it? But I understand he got that name because his knees were just worn out because he was kneeling to pray to God so often. And he writes a lot about prayer in his letter. And he says in chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The example given there is the prophet Elijah. But the prophet Daniel is also a good example for us. Think about your soul salvation. If you're outside of Christ, you can become a child of God this morning. If you're already a child of God, you've been unfaithful, you want to repent of your sins, we'd be happy to pray in your behalf. Come forward if you need to while together we stand and sing.